It's a shame for you to come to church and say, I left church and I didn't feel nothing. But God's Spirit is moving all around.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. Just reach out.
Now, I've been in it all. All we need to do is take an altar call, really. But God is good. God is good all. Excuse my language, but he ain't nothing but good. Sorry. I was raised by some uneducated folk, so he ain't nothing but good. Hallelujah. God is just so good. I heard the pastor say, he sent his word, and he healed them. He sent the powers in his words. If you did all of the singing and everything else, but if you don't have the word, you ain't got nothing yet. You ain't got nothing yet. Hallelujah. Giving honor to God today. If you want to stay standing, we can get a reading out of the way. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to give honor to God, giving honor to our pastor, assistant pastor, all the elders. I want to thank God for my wife, who I often forget when I'm here. I guess I get a little nervous, and I forget the one that helps me the most. So I thank God for my wife, who I'm serving. Hallelujah. And God is just a wonder. What a wonderful, what a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. And somebody said, what a mighty God we serve. Only God can deliver out of this sword. Oh my God, God is just so good. I think of the goodness of Jesus.
Yes, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
We're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, and we'll read together verses 4, and we'll conclude with verse 10. When we all have it, we can say amen.
Amen.
Let's start.
Great is my boldness of speech for you. Great is my glory of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. But when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, without providing, within or fears. Nevertheless,
Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I want to give you the title of this right away, because I'm not going to hold you in suspense. The title is, I'm Not Sorry That I'm Sorry. Now that's saying a little bit, and there's maybe a little confusion there, but let me give you a little background information about this 2 Corinthians. This church was very dear to Paul. He founded it, he helped it grow, others came in and pitched in, and what happened here was there was so much division, so many things wrong in the church. There were many problems, they had so many different things. There were sin going on, there was division, and there were fighting, as he said in one of the verses, he said that there was fighting without and there was fear within. And in the middle of all of their troubles, people were coming in and blaming Paul for a lot of things, and they were disrupting what he had already begun in the church. And they, so there were people that wanted to follow Apollos or Peter, and this one, and Paul said, no, wait a minute, we're all on the same team. You don't, we're not divided. Why are you divided? So he sent them a very harsh letter, and 1 Corinthians, and he spoke very directly, and he was very harsh. So just to give you just a little background, that what happened was he left. Now he sent them a letter, and then he visited, and then he left. And so now he tells Titus, after some time, I need you to go check on this church, see if everything's all right. Now they're mad at me, but maybe they'll receive you. So Titus goes, and he says, Titus will meet up at such and such a place. But what happened was they missed each other. So now it's in a day and age where there's no cell phone. So he can't just text Paul and say, I missed you, but here's what happened. So Paul is waiting in anticipation. I didn't see Titus, my fellow brother, my son in the Lord. I haven't seen him about this matter. I'm going quickly because it's late, the hour's late, and I promise you, you'll be out of here by 3:30, 4:30 at the latest. I promise you that. All right? Hold me to it. It's a joke. You'd be out here short. You can lie. Relax. So what happened was, when he saw Titus, it's like you and me. We're just so happy to see, but also in the back of our mind, wait a minute, he could have some bad news. He could have horrible news. They could, the church could be dissolved. It could be really bad. Instead, Titus gives him good news and tells him, hey, no, they have repented, they are on fire, they approve what you're doing, they know they love you, and he is just so relieved. So this message is about repentance. It's about repentance, and repentance is a word, if we were to hook our brains up in here together, it's one of those trigger words that it's bad in our mind. It always has had a negative connotation to it. So when we hear repent, we get defensive and we build up walls. And repentance simply means just to turn or to return unto the Lord. Yes. So stop what you're doing and return if you backslid, or turn to the Lord for the first time. Yes. Now, there are many types of repentance. There is that first overall repentance, come to the Lord. Yes. But then there's that fleshly repentance when you've fallen and you've done some things in this body that you should not have done. Drinking, whatever the case may be, you know what those things are. I don't want to single one thing out, because it seems like we single one thing out more than another, and people think, well, this is not that bad because I don't hear this a lot, church. No, whatever is wrong in the body, we can do it, and then we need to repent of that thing. And then there's a spiritual repentance. And example for that would be like when you have bad thoughts in your mind that you really shouldn't have. You may, like Bishop was here and he said, you know, you can have some improper thoughts kneeling down to pray. And when he said that, I said, wow, that's something. That has happened to me. I've had some improper thoughts go through my mind. They don't stay there, but they go through my mind, and they're not good thoughts. And I'm saying, I'm going praying here. How can this come upon me? Yeah. And I'm going to pray. Yeah. But we are human, so things happen up here that we need to get right. Yeah. So we see in verse number 4, we see that how much he has this joy for them. And he says, even in our tribulation, all of the things that we were going in, I still have joy for you. We went through a lot together, and we're still going through. But I have joy for you. And down in verse number 7, you see where Titus comes and said, we're not glad that in his coming only, but by his consolation, wherewith he was comforted in you, he was so happy to see what you did and what you were doing and how you corrected some things in the past so many days. You corrected it, and now he's comforted in that situation. So what Paul is, to verse number 8, where he says, for though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent. I ain't sorry that I did this. But then he said, though I did repent, what he's saying is, I was almost to the point where, man, I shouldn't have done that so harsh. Maybe I was too hard on them. You know how a father or a mother can discipline a child and then they stop and they think, maybe I went too far, I don't know. Maybe if it works out bad, maybe it's something in here. But Paul said, now after seeing that, he's like, well, maybe I did repent of that. And then he said, for I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. But now is a good time. Now I rejoice. Not that you were made sorry. See, I didn't glory in that situation. I didn't have pleasure making you sad. That's not what preachers do. The joy of the Lord, we're not trying to make people sad, but we're trying to give you the truth so that you can run on and see what the end is going to be. So when you sincerely, when we're talking about repentance, I think Elder Carroll mentioned this on Wednesday, I'm talking about the type of repentance that's down from the bottom of your heart. That's the first lady that lived. She mentioned that a little while ago. Down from the bottom of your heart at the cellular level. I'm saying at the very bottom, no one has to know about what's going on. I'm not talking about confession. It's repentance of the heart. It's a change of heart. And it starts way down in the bottom. Like Elder Carroll was mentioning that medicine on Wednesday. It's down on the inside, but it's working its way onto the outside. And eventually, you will see the fruits of repentance. Like the Bible says, show forth fruit meet for repentance. You will see that soon, but it's in the mind and it's in the heart already. Deep down in the soul, it's down there and it's working its way up slowly. Hallelujah. So, verse 9. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that he might receive damages of us in nothing. But godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. I am not sorry that I repented. It's a good thing. But sorrow of the world worketh death. It's a difference between being sorry. Worldly sorrow is so different. And I liken that to what Pastor was going over a few weeks ago about Ishmael, how he sought God with tears. But there was really no repentance. What he really had was a regret that he gave and lost something. And he didn't have repentance like, I let God down. But he more or less had repentance that, man, I could have been this, that, or the other. And he worried about it was a worldly thing that he was regretful of. And it's a big difference between regret and repentance. What do you need for repentance? And I took the liberty to write a few things down. But what do you need? What tools do you need for repentance? All you need for repentance is a humble heart and a fixed mind, a humble spirit and a willing mind, a heart filled with godly sorrow. And then to have a clear vision of God's mercy on you, understanding that God could have taken you while you were in your mess and had judgment right on you at that time. When you know that God is requiring you to do this, the Bible says, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Well, you may be able to miss church on a Sunday without letting anybody know. Well, you may not be saved. But for me, I can't do that. I need to let somebody know that I'm working, I'm sick, I'm here, I'm there. For me, it would be safe, but maybe not for you. So when you have something in your life, you know God is working on your conscience and your mind and in your heart about things that you need to do. So we're all in a different situation. True repentance. Let me read this about, I wrote this down. Repentance, true repentance is reviewing of your actions and feelings, contrition or regret for past wrongs, also accompanied by a commitment to change for the better. But false repentance, someone pretends to confess and turn from sin, but in their heart mean only to appease somebody, or they're trying to avoid an angry situation, so they'll just appear. But that's not for you or me to call on. That's God's job. So if someone wants to fake it, that's up to them. That's not something that we need to call people on. But God has been so good toward us. Can you turn with me to Jonah, the third chapter, quickly? I'll be out of your way. Hallelujah. There are so many benefits in repentance, and it's been, like I said, it's been a negative word that in our hearts we just end up building up a wall when we hear, I need to repent. What are you talking about? I don't need to repent. How about you? You need to repent. We get defensive, you know, and so many times, but I'd like to submit to you, it's a good thing. There, the Bible says there's rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented, over the 99 just men that need not to have repentance. So there's angels that have never been redeemed that are clapping and shouting when someone repents. But yet we fold our arms and look and it's just a normal day, knowing that we have been redeemed too. We should have that, wow, look at him. He's redeemed. He used to smoke 4 packs a day, drinking this, that, and the other. But now look at him. He's singing in the praise day. He's doing this, that, and the other. There's so many benefits. God has so many benefits in repentance. I don't know why the word was ever looked at in a negative way. It's a good thing. Without repentance, you can't even be in God's presence. Every man, all of the prophets, all of them have something wrong where they have to say, Lord, forgive me. In my mind, in my heart, I did this, that, and the other. I didn't have a right spirit to someone. We're never going to get it all right. But Paul, in that very same book, told them, be perfect. Now, he wasn't saying, if you're not perfect, you're not going to make it. What he was saying, stop setting the bar so low. Set the bar high. I can be perfect. I can try at least. I can try to be on time. I can try to sing out. I can try to praise the Lord. I can try to give my testimony. I can try to have perfect attendance. If I'm healthy, if I got the health and strength, I'm going to try to be there. God is requiring so much of us, and he's done so much for us. How come we can't return the favor? One of the other benefits that when you repent, you have life. God gives you life and a future. He told them in Ezekiel, tell the people that if they turn, they will live. They will not die, they will live. So God gives you life. If you turn your life around, you avoid some things in your life that God extends your life sometimes, like he did with Hezekiah. Because there was repentance in Hezekiah. He turned to the wall and prayed, and then the next thing you know, 15 years added to his life. He can change God's mind. And the judgment here in Jonah, not going to read but two verses. The judgment here, we all know the story of Jonah, how he didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh and preach because they didn't deserve it. They were violent people. They did this, that, and the other. However, when he finally got on board with God's plan, he went and did what God wanted him to do. It was a great revival. And it was an easy revival. It started with the king. And the king said, whoa, after hearing all of that, We'll get all of this stuff right. We'll do all of this stuff. So this is where, after they get it all right, chapter 3, verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works and that they turned from their evil ways. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do to them. And he did it not.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God looked on them.
Yes.
And he said, you know what? I had some big plans. My wrath was going to be poured out. And what I see, what's going on here, repent. And I always heard God doesn't repent, but this repent is different. All this means is not repenting from something wrong. He's repenting from his plans, his intentions. He's changing. Oh, when you do things that are pleasing in his sight, you can change his mind on some things. You can kind of alter, wow, he's doing all of that now? That's different. Now, he knows the end from the beginning, so he, you know, there's no surprise to God. It's not like, oh, I didn't know he was doing that. God knew from the beginning and the end. He knows it's all the same to God. So what he's doing is, wow, now they got it. Finally, I'll let them see that they did this, that, and the other, and let them understand that my wrath was held back because of what they did in their works and in their hearts. They repented in their hearts. So there's plenty of benefits in repenting toward God. And I don't know how it became so negative, because even on the day of Pentecost, the first thing Peter said, this is that which was spoken. Well, this is what was that by Joel. It was repentance. And Joel said, if you repent, and then his spirit be poured out on all flesh. We only focus on the spirit being poured out. But what happened was it was poured out after they repented. And then Peter was able to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin, and then you shall receive the Holy Ghost. God is good. He has made a way and a formula for us to make it. All we got to do is get on board with his plan. There's no way in the world that God's going to allow us to repent from the depths of our heart and still bring judgment on us and still do all what he said. God is able to take every crooked thing in our lives and make it straight. There's no reason that we can't rejoice together when one sinner repents. One sinner repented. How is the angel going to outpraise us when one sinner repents? When I repent, you know why I can rejoice? Because I remember the day that I repent. I remember the day that I said, oh, now my will, the Lord will now have heed of me. Hallelujah. And this is why we don't find repentance. Go back to chapter 7, verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. You see what I'm talking about? There are things that we need to repent of, flesh and spirit. There's those things in the spirit are the ones that mount up in our spirits. They mount up, they build up, because it's easy to know, oh man, I'm at a party and I'm drinking. That's easy to know. But what about Sister So-and-so coming and you get the bad thought, oh, who she thinks she is? She's always causing trouble. Oh, she's just, those are spiritual things that are going on up here. Hallelujah. Filthiness from the flesh and spirit, perfected holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God, holiness, when we fear God, it's not a fear like, here he comes, let me get out of the way. But it's a reverence. God is so good. He's so good and he's real in our lives. And he has no pleasure in the death of the unrighteous. He wants to see everybody make it. God is a real God. God is, he wants us to all make it. The songwriter said, when we all get to heaven, what a glorious day it shall be. Hallelujah. When we all get to heaven, God wants everybody. He died for everybody to make it. And we know that's not going to happen, but he died so everybody, one God died for all. Can you imagine that? All. But you have to personalize that. We can all stand at this time. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I don't know about you, but I was reading even Ahab, as crooked as Ahab was and his doings and his life, even he repented at some point. It was short-lived, but he repented. And God had respect even for that. He changed up. He said, you know what? I see that Ahab has humbled himself before me. So what I was going to do to him, I'm not going to do it at this time. I'm not going to do it at this time. But in his son's time, that's when I'll accomplish that thing. God can even take a crooked king, and if he has a humble spirit, the Bible says, a broken and contrite spirit God will not despise. So when you're broken, that's a good day for God. That's a good day for you, and even though traditionally we've made it sad, but it's a good day when you are broken and you want to give God, you want to give everything to God, that's a good day. Even though we've appeared sad in the past. Hallelujah. God is so good. Elder Carolyn.